In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
25 sleeps until Christmas Day. I wonder if you're ready for Christmas. Christmas. You are, yes. Okay, there's someone. I wonder if your parents are, they. You might be. I'm not sure we are quite. We did decorations yesterday, mostly. But that's quite early for us. Christmas, it stirs a whole range of emotions, doesn't it? I wonder what it does for you, how you see Christmas. And it's a range of kind of from happy stuff to sad stuff, isn't it? I mean, under the happy, we'd want to go festive traditions and feel... decorations. Although I remember paper chains. I'm not sure we do them anymore. You have little paper chains that are all linked together. We had those as kids. They're all coloured. And it was like you get to the end of the row and it would rip. And I'm scarred by how long it took to put up decorations when I was a child. Not too scarred, but a tiny bit. Or Christmas markets and your community feel. They're kind of lovely things about Christmas time with family, time with friends. Food, good food. Maybe you travel at Christmas. All those are good things. But then there's also things that are actually quite hard about Christmas for many people. I mean, it's so expensive, isn't it, Christmas? And that's a huge deal for many people. There's stress around that. Then there's the kind of emotional stress there can be. It has a way of highlighting our loneliness. It has a way of highlighting where there are family rifts and tensions as people get together. And in particular, doesn't it have a real way of highlighting our losses? So that empty chair does feel especially empty at Christmas. And then not to mention just the whole expectation, the kind of pressure from society, that you're meant to have a good time. You get it in New Year as well. Everyone's meant to feel happy. And if you're not, that's hard. How are you coming to Christmas this year? Probably a whole range of emotions here. At the heart of Christmas, there is genuinely something to sing about. Something that connects with our heart, meets our needs. And we need help to sing in tune with heaven. There's a great hymn we sing here at church, and it goes like this. It's a prayer to God. "Come, O fount of every blessing," it's referring to God, "tune my heart to sing your praise." We need help to do that. And what we're going to do in this little series, leading up to Christmas now, is we're going to look at some of the key characters in the Christmas narrative and the songs that they sung, the things that they said. And that's going to really help us to kind of tune our hearts to sing God's praise in this Christmas season, whether we're coming at it feeling mainly happy or mainly sad. Hopefully it'll help us all. And this morning, we're with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a relative of Jesus' mother, Mary. And it's worth saying that Elizabeth lived for years with profound sadness. Just have a look back in Luke chapter 1, and just note in verse 7 of chapter 1, we're told there that she was childless and unable to conceive, and that she's now very old. So my guess is over many, many years, Elizabeth was familiar with songs of lament, not joy. But the past 6 months for her had been totally crazy. Her husband was called Zechariah. He was a priest. He was on temple duty. And whilst in the temple, an angel had met with him. And immediately we're going, okay, we're now in a different realm. I mean, who's met an angel in the last year? 10 years? Your lifetime? Probably not. But he meets an angel. And the angel says to him that Elizabeth is going to conceive in her old age. And Zechariah, discovery, anyone know how he responded to that news yet? Austin? Ask your brother. I mean, you put your hand up. He didn't believe. He didn't believe what the angel said to him. And he's in God's judgment for a while. He's struck dumb. He can't speak. But sure enough, Elizabeth gets pregnant, and they can't believe it. But, you know, Elizabeth's joy at her own, if you like, supernatural conception is about to get totally eclipsed. Let's have a look at verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So here's a great family coming together, a reunion. But verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what we get is Elizabeth's song that we're going to look at today. But look at verse 39. It starts with, at that time. So what do we need to do? We've got to back up and find out what has just happened. So before we get to Elizabeth's song, we're going to first of all just look at Mary's journey. And Mary's journey was a walk of faith. Mary's journey, a walk of faith. Now, Mary lived up in the north of Israel in a town called Nazareth. And the trip south, all the way down to the hill country of Judea, where Elizabeth lived, was 100 miles. There's no Uber. She's walking. It's going to take about 5 days. Why did she do this? So let's get a bit of Mary's story. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. She is an excited bride-to-be. She's engaged to a guy called Joseph, and we're told she's a virgin. That's really important. Verse 26 gives us a little glimpse into heaven. You know, so when we read it, Elizabeth's in her 6th month, and God sends from heaven the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Nazareth is an insignificant and rather seedy town. Look, angels rarely show up in the Bible, let alone in everyday life. So this is supernatural, and what happens is extraordinary here. His message is extraordinary. And Mary, her kind of sex education lessons at school are about to be totally turned on their head. The first shock is there in verse 31. Though she's a virgin, Mary's going to conceive. She's going to give birth to a son whom she will call Jesus. Shock 2 is there in verse 32. It's going to have nothing to do with Joseph, her fiancé. Her child will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And shock 3 is there in verse 32, 33. He's going to be God's long-promised king, the Messiah, with an eternal kingdom. Now, just reflect on that. People have big expectations of their children, but this is another league expectation, isn't it? On Jesus. Mary's life is about to change forever, and she must have had a million questions. There's one that comes out of her mouth. It's there in verse 34, and it's understandably, how? I'm a virgin, Gabriel. How is this going to happen? Look at Gabriel's response in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So this child is going to be Mary's son, but not her fiancé, Joseph's. He's going to be stepdad. Jesus will be son of Mary and son of God. Conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. So Mary's womb is going to be the location of the greatest miracle in all of history. God took on flesh. Came one of us. How intuitive do you think angels are? I mean, how much do you think they understand people and how we feel and how we think? I mean, this is staggering news for Mary, isn't it? I mean, it's staggering news for the world. And Gabriel knows it. Let's not patronize Mary as a primitive first century girl. She is just like you and me. She is a rational human being, a thinking adult. She knows the facts of life. And she needs reassurance that this is for real, that she's not been dreaming this. And Gabriel knows that. He knows she needs that reassurance, and he helps her believe the miracle. I think that's what verse 36 is all about. Have a look at verse 36. He breaks some incredible family news to her. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Okay, so here is concrete evidence that Mary can go and check out. That verse 37, no word of God will ever fail. And so Mary's response is to begin this walk of faith 100 miles south to see Elizabeth for herself. And so she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word be to me, your word to me be fulfilled. The angel left her, and then so Mary hurries south and goes down to see Elizabeth for herself. Look, every single step that Mary took south, from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea, was a step of faith. Every step was saying, I believe. I believe in the miracle of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh. In my womb. It's extraordinary. I believe no word of God will ever fail. Mary's life from this point on is entirely shaped by Jesus, God becoming flesh. Look, your life and my life is being shaped by something, by some things. I wonder what it is for you. What is your life being shaped by? The Christian life is a journey. It's a walk of faith where we're called to believe in the fact that no word of God will ever fail. I wonder where you're at this Christmas. I wonder if you're saying, I believe in the miracle of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh in Mary's womb. And then praying, Lord, would my life be entirely shaped by that reality? But this clashes, doesn't it, with our culture that really laughs at the supernatural, or many people do. And so should we write the Bible off where it is alien to our culture? Should we do that? No, we don't judge the word of God by what our culture is saying, it's the other way around. We judge the culture by the word of God. We critique our culture. God's word critiques all cultures. It's got to be that way around. And besides, this is not blind faith. It is reason faith. Christmas is God entering our world. So we would expect, wouldn't we, that there are supernatural things that are going on. That is entirely logical. Even if we don't understand it, how it works. So it is a reasoned faith. And so let our lives be shaped by Christmas, the heart of Christmas. And we want to sing Elizabeth's song. So let's get on to her song and see what she says. So let's pick it up again in verse 40. We're now 100 miles later. Mary arrives at Zechariah and Elizabeth's house. And in verse 41, as Mary greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth becomes the first venue for womb breakdancing. Did you see that? Her baby starts leaping around. And verse 41, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and this wonderful poem or this song comes out. And what she's doing is she is interpreting what is happening in her womb as her baby leaps around. So let's look at her song. Four things, reasonably briefly as we go through these. So the first thing is Elizabeth's song is going, Jesus is blessed. Jesus is blessed. In verse 42. This is odd, isn't it? It's an odd response. You know, when we take into account that Elizabeth is very unusually pregnant as an old lady, what would we expect when these two come together? What would you expect Elizabeth to enthuse about? I think her own pregnancy. What does she enthuse about? Mary's. Look here, the verse here, verse 42. In a loud voice, she exclaims to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. I mean, how does she know this? Remember, there's no Facebook or Instagram for Mary to have posted her encounter with Gabriel. But Elizabeth, verse 41, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he reveals to her that Mary is, in fact, pregnant. And Mary and her child are blessed. And I think the Holy Spirit is helping her join up some dots here. So let's think about it. Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy. Think of what Elizabeth knows about her own child. Just look back to chapter 1, verse 17. And here's some of the things she knew about her own child inside of her. We know he's going to be John the Baptist, right? If you didn't know that, he is going to be John the Baptist. And he's going to have the privilege of preparing the world for the Messiah. That is what's going on in verse 17. That will be her son's life work. So Elizabeth knows this. She knows that the Messiah will come in her child's lifetime. Now, as Mary greets her, John the Baptist starts this breakdancing in her womb. And the Holy Spirit says to Elizabeth, he's here. The Messiah, Elizabeth, is in Mary's womb. That is what's going on there. He's saying, Elizabeth, you stand on holy ground. So can we pray this Christmas, Lord, would you tune my heart to sing Jesus is blessed, to see that Christmas, to see that everything is about Christ. It's all about him. Why is that? Well, it's because of who he is. Let's kind of press on with Elizabeth's song. Here's the second thing in Elizabeth's song. She goes, I'm unworthy before my Lord. I'm unworthy before my Lord. It's there in verse 43. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth is mother of a miracle child, but she sees that Mary is the mother of one that's greater. her Lord. Think of it. Jesus is only just conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. Mary's got no bump to show yet. She carries no ultrasound scan. The tiny, fragile life inside of Mary is no more than a clump of cells forming. But the Holy Spirit shows Elizabeth she is standing in the presence of God becoming flesh. And she expresses deep unworthiness. And for Mary, it will have resonated with what Gabriel told her about her child. Just look at verse 32. Mary being told that her son will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Oh, here's a question. Who's the greatest person you've ever stood before, you've ever met? Let's give some famous people. Who have we got? Any ideas? Has anyone stood before anyone famous? David who? Who's he? No, David Bowie. Yeah, I know. Yeah, David Bowie. So, yeah. Yep. Great David Bowie. Yep.
We saw Penelope Keith.
Penelope Keith. There we go. Great. Anyone else? Nelson Mandela. That's quite a claim. Yeah, David?
Jeremy Hunt.
You heard that very political comment right here. Yeah. Okay, look. I once stood before the Queen. At least I think I did. We were outside of Buckingham Palace. I'm not entirely sure she was in that day, but she didn't look out. She missed me. It's a shame for her. But no, seriously, imagine if she was in and she'd come out to see me. And I'd be going, why me? Look, in Mary's womb is none less than the Son of the Most High God. The promised King who came to save sinners forever. I wonder if as you come to Christmas, you have that sense of, why me? Why? We know Jesus came to save us, right? I mean, we should have the sense of, why me? We are the visited planet. At Jesus' birth, we stand in the very presence of God. And we should feel a deep sense of unworthiness, of shame for our past and our present. Because we not only fail to keep God's commands, but we rebel against God's commands. Maybe you find that uncomfortable, that we're the sense that we are unworthy. Our culture is telling us that you're worth it. But look, Jesus is real with us. We are made in God's image. And as such, we have infinite worth. We have infinite dignity. But we are deeply sinful and deeply broken. We are rebellious against God's commands. We fail to keep God's commands. So can we pray this Christmas? Lord, would you tune my heart to sing, I'm unworthy before my Lord? Why would we say that? Well, because of who we are. See, unless you feel unworthy in the presence of Jesus Christ, you will never come to know the joy of why he came. He came to save you. And this is our next thing. It gets a bit crazy here. So verse 44, Elizabeth goes, I'm jumping for joy at Jesus. More accurately, her child is inside of her. There is one very happy kid in her womb. Look at it in verse 44. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So, womb breakdancer John the Baptist. He was no ordinary chap. When the angel Gabriel had predicted his birth to his dad, Zechariah, back in verse 15, Gabriel explained an extraordinary thing about John. And this has blown me away this week. It's the back end of verse 15. It says that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And I can't get my head around that. But you know, he's 6 month gestation here, okay? And at that stage, his eyes have only just opened. His lungs are not yet totally developed. But he's filled with the Holy Spirit before birth. And at the sound of Mary's voice, the one his own mum describes as the mother of her Lord, John the Baptist jumps for joy in the womb. Now, what is your earliest memory? I'm fairly confident that no one here has any womb memories. And if you claim to, I you probably should see a doctor. No womb memories? I don't think so. We don't remember what happened there. But actually, in Mary's womb is none less than the Son of God. And John is jumping for joy. It's unlikely that he remembers that. And so he grows up, and interestingly, he knows that Jesus is his relative. They knew would have known each other. But it's not until 30 years later the Holy Spirit revealed to John that Jesus, his relative, is in fact the Messiah, the Son of God, God's chosen one. And John will preach to the crowds. And he'll point to Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 29. And he'll say, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is why Christmas, in both our joys and our sorrows, God can tune our hearts to jump for joy at Jesus. He is truly great. He is holy. He sees you. He sees me. And that should make us feel unworthy. But know that he was born to die for you. He's called the Lamb of God. It means he sacrificed himself on the cross for your sin, punished for your rebelliousness, punished for your failure to keep God's commands, to take away all of your sin and your shame, and so that you can stand on holy ground before Jesus, unworthy, yes, but welcome and forgiven and deeply loved. So can we pray this Christmas, Lord, would you tune my heart to sing, I'm jumping for joy at Jesus. Why is that? Well, because of why he was born, to die for your sin, for your forgiveness. But, and there is a very big but here, you only receive the blessing of forgiveness if you believe in the salvation that Jesus came to achieve for you. So here's our last thing on Elizabeth's song. She is singing, believing is blessed. It's there in verse 45. She says, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord would fulfill, that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. So Mary's journey, it was a walk of faith that God's promise was for real. She believed God's promise. But verse 45 can equally be translated from the Greek, blessed is she who has believed for the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. You see, Elizabeth believed the promises of God too. And she knows that to believe God's promise is to be truly blessed. And maybe she has in mind her husband Zachariah's unbelief. When he'd heard that they were going to conceive in an extraordinary way in their old age, he hadn't believed. And so whilst Elizabeth is kind of shouting here for joy in faith, Zachariah's in the corner. He can't speak. It was God's judgment on him. And it's only when John the Baptist was born that his tongue is loosed and then out comes a beautiful song that we're going to look at in a couple of weeks' time. He sings of God's goodness. So can we pray this Christmas, Lord, would you tune my heart to sing, believing is blessed. Why? Because it's as you put your faith in Jesus Christ that you see that Jesus is truly blessed. You see that you are unworthy before him. He is Lord, he is God. And he exposes your sin for sure, but that you might come to him for salvation. He came to save. And that is pinch yourself good news. It's how, both in the happiness and the sadness of Christmas, and in fact all year, we can in our hearts jump for joy at Jesus. And so we pray, come, O fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing your praise. May our lives this Christmas and always be shaped by this glorious reality that we are the visited planet, that Jesus Christ came for us, God in flesh.